welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where John has kind of a little exhortation for us. He says, behold what manner of love, stop, think about, ponder, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called. It's proper, it's appropriate. We should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. This is a great little admonition that we're called to do. In other words, we're called to stop and consider the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. In other words, he did something for us that made us his very own children. To stop and think about that. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to really continue along our series of the love of God, and we're going to look at the Father heart of God's love. You know, for the last 2 months now, we've really been on the subject of the love of God, and it's something that I've just been compelled to really stay. I feel like a bit of a lawyer. I'm making an argument. In other words, yeah, we all know God loves you. Okay, I've heard that. Well, that's good that you know it. But we need to know it. It's when you know it in your heart that things change. It's when you know that you are loved by God that it affects the way you see life. In other words, I'm not fearless because I'm so courageous. I am fearless because I'm so loved by God. There's a love of God that casts out fear. There's a love of God when it gets in your heart. It begins to affect your life in a powerful way. And so we're just, I guess you could say, continuing an argument. The argument of God's love. And you know, sometimes you argue something one way and it means something to some people. You argue it another way and, oh, okay, well, that really clicks with me, you know. So we're kind of arguing the love of God from some, again, some different angles. And I just believe that there's going to be some more ways this morning that that God's love is going to resonate with you as we look at this same love, this same agape, powerful love, from simply the perspective of the what we're calling the Father heart of God's love. Praise God. Now, I've been told that clock isn't right, so I'm going to keep my own little clock here so we don't preach till 1 o'clock this afternoon here, all right? Yeah. Oh, praise God. So we're going to go ahead and start and take a look at the heart of the Father's heart of God's love. First of all, he has a parental love, all right? We're going to just shake some paradigms of the simple God loves you and Christianity and your religion, and we're going to really believe right now, Father, I pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that our hearts will capture something this morning of the essence of your love, things that we know tangibly already about what real love is and looks like, that the Holy Spirit will just align that with your love for us in a way that will resonate deep in our hearts. We thank you for that revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So the parental love of God, Ephesians 3, 14 through 15. The Apostle Paul describes it this way. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. All right? It's a passing statement that he makes as he goes on to pray a powerful prayer about the love of God. But what does he say here? He's bowing his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of a family, that spans heaven and earth. In other words, this family is in two spots. You know, we've got children in Oklahoma and Wisconsin, our family, all right? It's spread out over, but it's our family. And that's the way the Apostle Paul is describing the family of God. You know, we have family that have gone home to be with the Lord, but we're all still part of that family. You've just got some family in the state of heaven and some family in the state of earth, but it's one family, the whole family, one family. When you became a Christian, you didn't join a religion. You got born into a family. That's the ultimate defining characteristic of Christianity. It's a family that you're born into. So you begin to see your faith in the context of family. It begins to change the way we think about who we are and what we do. You know, with religion, there's duty. There's these rules I got to follow to be one of these, and I got to dot these I's and cross these T's. And there are things we do in our Christian faith. We have admonitions from the word that we follow, but there's a broader context. It doesn't start there. It starts with family. It starts being born into a family. You know, you may have had chores when you grew up. Maybe you washed the dishes, mowed the lawn, different things like that. But that didn't define anything. You're part of that family. Those are just some chores that you did. That was your contribution, maybe some different things. But you, first and foremost, you weren't defined by your lawn mowing. You were defined by your position as a son or a daughter in a family. Okay? So it changes our whole way of thinking. I like how the Apostle Paul puts it here in Romans. He said, you didn't receive a spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance enfolding you into the family of God. You will never feel orphaned, for he rises up within us. Our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. This is Christianity. You're born into a family. You're born into a relationship with a heavenly Father. We come to church on a Sunday morning. I like what David was saying earlier, just about heaven and the sound of fellowship. What is that? That's family. This is a family gathering this morning. Isn't it amazing, and haven't you noticed, that there are people you may have grown up with your whole life who know you in a certain sense, and yet you bump into one of your family members, and you can talk with them on levels, and they can get you on levels that you may have just met this morning, that people you've known your whole life can't even get you or understand you. This is your family. You're talking spirit stuff. You're connecting on levels of spirit. It's evidence of family, okay? Yeah, we bear fruit for the kingdom of God. There's things that we're doing for the kingdom of God. That's all good, but you got to back up, you know? Again, like we were saying, you weren't born into a family to mow a lawn. You were born into a family to know that family, to be part of that family, to be loved by that family. The chores are some things and responsibilities that you have as you're part in that family. And there's good works he's ordained us to walk in, whether what part of the body we might be, whether you're a hand or a foot or an eye. We all have our duties. But first and foremost, you're a child of God. First and foremost, you're part of a family. First and foremost, you're loved by God. You are God's beloved child. In our Christian experience, we got to back up. We got to back up to the fact, I'm born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You got to be born again. You got to get born again into the spiritual family. So as our Christian experience, we think Christianity in duty and being a good Christian, dotting I's, crossing T's, spiritual faith levels and all that. We got to get things in the right perspective. I'm loved by God. Well, I was a sinner. God loved me. All right? So, not to base his love on all the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing for him, but to go back and realize the only reason I can love him is because he first loved me. He had me born again into this family. And when we think about that, this is where things begin to really make a lot of sense. And we think about family too. We can't just think about, obviously we have our own families. We have our own family experience, all right? There is natural family, there is spiritual family. You might have a different background depending, again, on what family you grew up in. Maybe you had a father that was, you know, abusive or abandoned or did some things to you. I will say this, nobody grew up in a perfect family. I mean, I was not a perfect father. There's days I would like to go back and do over, all right? Anybody who's been a parent has to honestly admit this. There were some conversations you might have wished you had with your spouse in a different place. Some things that you would have done differently. Some things that you would have, you know, we all have those do-over days we'd like to have back. But we weren't perfect. But God is perfect. He is holy. He is love. He is kind. He's merciful. So we thank God, you know, for some ways, some glimpses we might see the Father's love pattern through natural dads, natural parents, natural love. But there is a perfect Heavenly Father who sees through all the junk. And yeah, we're born in a family. And not only in a family do you have a father, but you have siblings in a family. All right? And the thing about a father's love is the father can see through all the sibling stuff and sees you as the father. He can see through all that sibling stuff and he can see you as a father. I love you as a father. And so as we're looking at, again, the father's love, it's important to realize and see that what we're doing for God, it's coming out of that relationship. And that's really what Jesus modeled for us. This is what he said. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who has sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. This was the ministry of Jesus. It was just his relationship with the Father. He just walked out. This is why you could never really tell what he was going to do next. Because in a sense, he was just going to do whatever the Father told him to do next. It's not like you could think him up and game him and figure him out. No. And the Bible says that we're kind of that way too. Everyone who's born of the Spirit, there's an element of mystery. You can't tell whether the wind comes, whether it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. There's an element of mystery. What are we to do? We're to walk like he walked. In other words, my goal is to pull in like Jesus did to the Father. You have that relationship. And the cool thing is you get that relationship with the Father, you get stuff. You get to know him as the Father. You get to know his voice, and then you get good stuff in your heart. Have you ever had that where you just kind of, maybe you start out your morning and you get something in your heart and say, wow, that's really good. And 4 hours later, you run into somebody and wow, that was for them for then. I didn't know that at the time, you know, but you get some stuff from the Father and then you say what you've already heard the Father say. And you're doing something, you say, wow, that's really smart. Well, you had it beforehand. You get stuff in that relationship and you walk it out with God. But that's so much different than the spirit of religious duty, trying to do stuff to look good and keep up appearances spiritually. That's not what this is about. This is a whole other paradigm where I'm walking with the Father. And I'm pulling into him. I'm gonna get what I get from him. You know, and when you think about that relationship, it's a love relationship. He's not doing it for. In other words, even when he's using Jesus, working through Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. In other words, before Jesus is doing something, he's loved by the Father. It's not like I'm using him for my benefit. I'm using him. I love him. And he's carrying out my will in the earth. You know, we talked several weeks ago about the prodigal son. You know, and he returned to the Father. Well, when the prodigal son is coming back and the father sees him from a long way off and he's running to his son, he's not thinking, oh, wow, I'm going to have another
manager in my fields. This is going to increase my profits by probably 10, 15%. This is awesome. What a great day. He's finally back. He's not thinking money. He's not thinking stuff. He's not thinking that. I love my son. I love him. I love the person that he is. I don't love him for what he can do for me. I love him because he's my son. There's an expression of satisfaction in doing the will of the Father. It's like anything. When you work at a job and you do something and you do it well, and you know you've done your job and you've done it well, there's something we call job satisfaction. There's a satisfaction you get, and it can be appreciated. And you can even have managers say, great job, and I love the way you did that. There's a job satisfaction that comes from doing what you know you're supposed to do. And we enjoy a job satisfaction when God puts something in our hearts and we do it and we did it and praise God. But we don't confuse job satisfaction with his love. He loved us before we ever had the job satisfaction. He loved us while we're sinners. He's a father, and he loves us as a father. And there's something about just surrendering to the Father's love and say, okay, I'm not going to get caught up in this, you know, religious duty spirit. It's not because I had my devotion time that, oh, I just feel his love for me. No. He loves me. I don't have to get in the mood. I don't have to get in the zone to have to be able to pray. I can just pray. I can just talk to him. He's my Father. He loves me. There's something about that spirit of religious duty. We're born into it. We're just born into it. Even in Christianity, we're born into it in so many ways. It takes the Spirit of God to shake us free from it and just say, I'm loved by God. Just by faith. We know we're saved by grace through faith. We know it's not works. And yet, we're human beings. We have a sense that tries to bring us back to this old paradigm. God, I'll tell you what, he just wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy life. There's nothing quite like, as a parent, when you see your child enjoying life, when you see your child happy, from a baby, when you see that little baby just belly laughing at the silliest little thing. You know, I like to relate a story when Caleb, he was probably just a little guy, maybe three, four years old. And we were sitting, I don't know what it was. It was just me and him at home. But I think we had the Cartoon Network on, and it was Roadrunner, okay? And, you know, this with Roadrunner and the coyote. And the coyote's always trying to get the Roadrunner. And he could never catch the Roadrunner. And every time he tries, it ends up, whatever he does, ends up backfiring on himself. You know, the little Acme company stuff. And I just remember we were watching, it was one of those goofy things where, he had some big anvil that he was going to try to drop on the Roadrunner. It ends up dropping on him, you know. And I mean, I grew up my whole life watching this coyote get killed. So I just have, you know, and all of a sudden, Caleb just starts belly laughing. And I thought, wow, okay. And then, but another, you know, a few minutes later, he's chasing the Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner stops, and then he goes further, and he goes off the cliff, and then poof, you know, as he falls on a big cliff, and Caleb's just laughing again. He's just like, wow. And then the third time, something else goofy happens, and the Roadrunner just coyote gets smacked into a tree. And he just belly laughed so hard, and he pointed and he said, Dad, that guy is so unlucky. And then I was just laughing right along with him. You know, it's like I'm seeing this fresh through his eyes again. But I just remember, and I'm not advocating violence and all that stuff, all right? Gee whiz, I got a disclaimer everything today. But you know what I'm saying. It was just like seeing him just so, just happy and just laughing and getting, it made me laugh. There's a joy that you have as a parent when you see the joy in your child. The Heavenly Father loves us happy. He loves us full of joy. It doesn't mean everything is necessarily going right. When you choose to count it all joy in the face of things, when you choose to count it all joy in the face of junk, and I'm just going to love you, I'm telling you what, you stir the heart, and you put a smile on your Father's face When you choose to worship him, I think the Apostle Paul, all that stuff he went through and worshiping in the midnight hour, the whole prison just started shaking. I think there's just something about, you know, the Father heart of God when we choose to just count to say, Lord, I know you love me. There's a lot of stuff going on. There might be a lot of people who misunderstand me, take things, but I know you love me. I know you're for me. What is that? That's a parental love that the Heavenly Father has for us. Not only that, but this Father heart is a provisional love. And this is where it really connects with the relationship right here. Do you not know that any parent would give his hungry child? Do you not know of any parent who would give his hungry child who asked for food a plate of rocks instead? Or when asked for a piece of fish, what parent would offer his child a snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what is best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? In other words, he's comparing. He's saying, do you think you're a pretty good parent? Okay. If you have the good sense to give your father, to give your children good things, how much more does your father have the good sense, you know, to give his children good things? Because sometimes we can get a little mystical with God. We can get a little mystical with his heart. He loves us, and he's going to give us good things. In other words, if I ask for something, you know, if I ask for food, he's not going to give me a plate of rocks. If I want a piece of fish, I'm not going to get a snake instead for my mysterious good. Not at all. He's not. You know, if you think that, you're not going to want to ask God for things. If you're afraid that he's going to give you something that is going to be painful and horrible and bad, and it's like, wow, I remember asking God for that. No, God can take any bad situation and turn it around for good. He can work anything for good. But God has good sense. He's got the good sense of a natural parent. So you don't have to be afraid to ask him. You don't have to be in fear of asking him for something that's basic and good, like food and provision, that he's going to provide food and provision. He understands that. He wants us to be able to ask him to have that heart of a child that says, Father, I have a need here, and I'm asking you. He loves that. You know, Jesus in another place said, ask, seek, knock. Everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. He who knocks, the door will be open. James says, you have not because you ask not. There's a relationship here. There's dialogue here. God's not just responding to the need in your mind. He wants relationship. He wants you to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He wants there to be a father-child dialogue in the earth by faith. Yeah, he knows what you have need of before you ask. Ask. There's a relationship. It's provisional. But it's a relationship that's it's a provision that's based on relationship. He wants you to see, to know that he's there. Here's another way that it kind of can directly affect our walk with the Lord. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. This is where it takes our heart and our focus and our relationship. What are we talking about? Relationship, relationship. That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life. Whether you'll have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They do not plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? This is where it's, you know, we've got to realize, and, you know, I think that very verse 24, it's really kind of the inflection point right there. You can't serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, it's not that, you know, we can get focused on money. In other words, what happens? We're loving God. We're going along. We got this great, things are going good between you and the Father. And then something comes up. There's a need that comes up. There's a financial thing that comes up. And all of a sudden, the focus is there. In a way where, okay, Julie and I would kind of humorously say, this is back in the day when we hadn't gone into ministry yet. You know, someday we're going to go into full-time ministry. We would say to ourselves, we're going to make that first million, and then we're going to step out in faith and go into the ministry. So it's funny how our heart can fool us in these areas. I'm just saying, all right? You know, you can be going along, and all of a sudden that comes up, it's a financial need, and all of a sudden it can just focus on everything money, everything dollars. The math, as soon as checking account equals X, then whew, I can go back to being wholehearted with God again. These are just things that come up. This is everyday life. This is stuff that we all have to deal with. And these are things that can come in and rob that relationship with the Father. But that's where he's not just a parental, it's a provisional love. In other words, he cares. God knows what X is. And sometimes we can trust God if X is so much. But sometimes X can be so big, we got to step in and help God. You know what I'm saying? There's just things in our heart. And these things are relative. You know what's big to one person? When we talked last week about how vast God is in creation and trillions of galaxies, he's a big God. He understands big numbers, right? And so your numbers probably are not going to scare him, whatever that X is. You know, things are relative. I remember this is back in the day when I was working at Hardee's, but just how things can be so relative. It was kind of a late night. We were just about to close up, and I was just, you know, doing my stuff. I was the cook back there, and I saw on the screen popped up hamburger heavy onions. I thought, oh, hamburger heavy onions. And so I'm making the hamburger, and I don't know what. I was feeling particularly sassy that night, but I reached in and grabbed a big handful of onions and put it on the burger. And, you know, just kind of, I was just in and passing the burger through there. And, you know, it's just kind of a small burger, and it was like, ooh, a little bigger than it should be. And there was a twinge in my heart as I pushed that burger through. And it was about 5 minutes later, my manager comes through the back door with this with this burger, and I'm kind of standing over by the grill, and she's over by the condiment section. She plops the burger right next to the condiment section, and she opens the foil and then takes the bun off, and I'm looking at that mound of onions, and she's looking at me, and I have nothing to say. I've got no good explanation for this. And she looked at me and she said, the lady said heavy onions. And then she reached in, grabbed more onions, and put it on top of that. put the bun on top, wrapped it, and went outside. Wow. Whew. It was basically an onion with a little bit of burger, you know, that she had. I thought, wow, here I thought I was in trouble, and I hadn't gone far enough. You know, no matter what your ex is, you might think you got heavy. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think in his provisional love. In other words, no matter what your ex is, no matter how heavy it is, he can one-up you. He's got it. Even when it came to our sin, it wasn't good enough for him to just pay for our sin. No, not good enough for our God. Where our sin abounded, his grace is much more abounded. In other words, whatever mankind's sin, whatever X equaled for mankind's sin, God did abundantly above that. All right? So this is where, when it comes to provisional and money stuff, we can kind of get tripped out in what our X is. And God is saying, nah, I'm big. You can still have this cool relationship with me. This X doesn't have to trip us up here. You don't have to all of a sudden become a slave to money because, you know, something happened and now it's so big. I love how Jesus puts it here. What is the value of your soul to God? Could your worth be defined by an amount of money? God doesn't abandon or forget even the small sparrow he has made. How then could he forget or abandon you? What about the seemingly minor issues of your life? Do they matter to God? Of course they do. So you never need to worry, for you are more valuable to God than anything else in this world. I mean, wow. I love that. You know, we live in a world where we're all kind of on the same plane. You know, we're just part of the animal kingdom, and who do we think we are? We're made in the image of Almighty God, and he values and he esteems you high in his creation. What is man that you're mindful of him? We explored that last week. And really, the answer to that psalmist's question, when he says, Lord, what is man that you're mindful of him? The answer to that question, in answering that question, you find your amazing value to God. You are made in his image. You are what God became. Merry Christmas as a man and walk this earth. We're special. We're unique to God. And we've got to realize, man, if he so foresaw my debt of sin that he sent Jesus, how much more can I trust that he foresaw my natural debt? That's where the scripture says, when our soul was purchased, he says it wasn't redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver. Why? Gold and silver didn't have enough value to redeem your soul. You are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So if this price has already been paid, then again, I don't have to trip out over some gold and silver stuff issues in my life, right? The bigger price has already been paid as an example to me that I can go forward and know that he is God. I got to ask, seek, knock, but he is there and he's going to meet those needs. And then finally, it's a personal love. This is really powerful. You know, earlier on in John chapter 14, one of his disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father. You know, you keep saying the Father this, the Father that, the Father, he does the works. You say what you hear the Father say. So this is all about the Father. We want to see the Father, you know. Jesus later on in this passage says, these things I've spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time's coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that you shall pray I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you've loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. In other words, Jesus is telling his disciples, this Father that I've been glorifying in my life by just following his lead and following his direction, this Father himself loves you. In the way you've seen me have this personal relationship with my Heavenly Father that I'm getting stuff to do ministerially, he loves you too. You're going to have a relationship with him just like I have a relationship with him. And this is the way he described how it would work. When you pray, you don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So we kind of see a sandwich here, don't we? On the top, you kind of see the public stuff, kind of the public thing. Look at me. I'm a prayer warrior. Fear me, respect me. I'm amazing. There's a certain way things can be done for show. And Jesus said, when things done that way, well, you got your reward. Congratulations. You're amazing. All right. But there's another kind of reward that the Father wants to give you. And on the bottom, there's a different kind. This is more of the private points that you're trying to score. Vain repetitions. I prayed this X number of times. Pray this X number of times and amazing things are going to happen to you. Vain repetitions over and over and over. We're impressed with the over and saying that doesn't impress God either. That doesn't cause you to get God's ear either. Do we have a natural tendency? Yeah, natural religion, human. But there's in the center, you see there's a reward that we get from God, but it has nothing to do with either of those two things. When you pray, go into your room. When you shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I mean, wow. This, what kind of reward is that? When you pray and you go into your room and you just begin to pray and you begin to talk from your heart. And I'm saying this. I am saying this because I, you know, many of us have been Christians for a while. So we kind of know how this rolls. We know our up times. We know our weak times. We know our strong times. And so we can have these prayer postures, up, weak, all that. Again, we're talking about the Father's heart, all right? You know, you think about a relationship with the Father. It's not about whether you're strong, whether you're weak, whether you've been in the Word, whether you haven't been in the Word. This is just praying. I'm talking to God. I'm talking to God not because I've done anything to merit this room with him, because he loved me while I was a sinner. I'm just by faith talking to him, and I'm talking out the stuff in my heart. I'm talking about my own weaknesses that I'm frustrated with myself about, the issues with other people that I'm frustrated about. I'm just talking it all out of my heart. I'm just being honest and just candid with the Lord, just in prayer. I'm just talking it out. That's all I'm doing. It's not that I'm already this strong spiritual person having to... I'm just talking it out. Now, you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and get into the prayer room and do business. That's awesome. But I'm just saying, that prayer, that place was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, not your consecrated devotion time, prayer time record that you've got going. There's a new and living way. that's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have boldness to enter the throne of grace through that blood. Now, again, not by our record of how steadily and how perfect we've been with our devotion time. It's there all the time. It is a 24/7, throne of grace that we have with the Heavenly Father. And just to begin to talk from our heart. And the cool thing is, when you just begin to go there by faith, and many times it's just being candid about your own weaknesses. A lot of times the only things that'll keep you out, like I've said a lot of times at Door of Life, I got two chairs in my office. I got my computer chair and I got my devotion chair. They're only about 2 feet apart. But it's amazing how hard it can be to get into that devotion chair when you're locked into that computer chair, being productive and getting things done. And there's reasons why you don't want to go in that devotion chair, because there's some stuff that you don't want to have to confront. There's some of your own stuff you don't want to have to confront. But when you realize that he's a good, loving Heavenly Father, you don't have to be afraid to confront those things. When the prodigal came to his senses and decided, I'm going to go back to the Father, what did the Father do? There was mercy. My son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. Now he's found. When we get honest about our weaknesses and go before God and say, oh, there's a song that says, if I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause. But you're the God who stays. And that's the way he is in prayer. Not to be afraid to go to that place. He's there. You're praying. He will, but the Holy Spirit will kind of help you navigate. And you just begin to go there by faith. And you go to that other chair. You go to that other chair by faith. And you sense grace and peace. And I'm telling you, there's something that happens when you just begin to talk to God again. You don't have it all figured out. You're not perfect yet. You're not freely consecrated. But I'll tell you what, you're talking again. There's something about just talking with the Father again. I'm just back on talking terms that puts a confidence and puts a joy and puts a peace in your heart. And he begins to show you step by step by step how to come out of things. This is after the resurrection. Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I will go get him. Mary, Jesus said, she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which in the Hebrew is teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What is this? You're personalizing it here. You mean just he's the Father? No, Jesus is God, all right? Let's not confuse that. He is the second person of the Trinity, but Jesus is saying, in the same way I had that relationship with the Father, the Son, he's the Son of God and the Son of Man, born of a virgin, came, experienced our condition. He perfectly lived it out. And he said, I'm ascending to my Father, to your Father, to my God, to your God. He said, in the same way I've walked with the Father, you're going to walk with the Father. You're going to walk with him. He's my Father and your Father. You're going to say what you hear him say. You're going to see what you see him do. Your life, your ministry is just going to come out of that relationship. It's going to be the same thing. So what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about the Father heart of God's love. Now, there's a little video I just wanted to show at the end here, which I feel like kind of captures also a little bit of just that Father's heart. And we'll just kind of, I think, kind of help sum up a little bit what we've been talking about here this morning. Praise God.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. You are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father. And I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
We thank you, Father God, for what you've done for us, what you've done in us.
Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your love. You are truly for me. You love me as a father, not because of what I can do for you, but because I'm your child. You love me that way. You're my provider. No matter the financial crisis, no matter how big X is, your grace much more abounds. I don't have to be enslaved to money. I can keep my relationship with you. I can seek you first, and you'll add what I need. I thank you, Lord. I belong to you. You are my Father. Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. There's many things I don't understand, but I choose to believe that you love me, that you died for me. I receive that gift. I receive your forgiveness. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I'll live for you, Lord Jesus, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say welcome to the family. That's all you can do is just call upon his name. There's no big achievement or work we can do. All we can do is just trust him, and he comes through. And let me know if that is you. I'd really like to encourage you and give you some good materials and things to just help you on your new journey, your new walk with God. It's the absolute best decision you could ever make in your life. Praise God.